Man, I'm so excited about today's conversation. I have known the guy that's going to talk with me today for 24 years, 25 years. I don't know. It's been a long time. And he's been such a blessing in my life. I know he's been a blessing in so many of your lives, more than likely. Usually has pretty good revelation. I mean, for the most part, I think today he'll probably have some good stuff, maybe. But please welcome Pastor Steve Eden.
Thank you. Check's in the mail.
There it is. All right. So today I want to talk about something that we've been covering a lot over the course of the last several months. But it's Father's Day, as you all know. And historically, for the last, I don't know, 4 years or 5 years, I've spoke on Father's Day, which I find it's just always funny how it works out.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about spiritual parenting and what that looks like. So, Steve, what does it look like?
What is spiritual parenting? Well, I do think it's a lot of, it can look a lot of different ways, but at the end of the day, it's developing. You know, only God can birth a child of God, but you know, spirit begets spirit. But you can definitely be a bridge through which somebody meets Christ, but then it's not leaving them at the hospital. You know, it's pouring into them, investing in them, discipling them, and then maybe even different measures through the course of their life, different amounts, but always being there available like you were for Gabe. You know, Gabe moves out, but he doesn't quit being Gabe's dad. Amen. And I think spiritual parenting and development is something that has been lacking, you know, in the body of Christ for many years. And I made mention during worship that even the disciples, they start following Jesus, but they spend 3 years with him before he even says, matter of fact, he even told him in Luke 24 to tarry, before you go do anything, don't go do anything. Go to the upper room and wait. We've spent all this time together, but then I'm going to take my spirit. I'm going to put myself in you. And then once that happens, hey, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. And so, you know, I think it's that process of just pouring in and shepherding and caring for spiritual children.
Yeah, I think of John 10. Right. Where Jesus, he's the good shepherd, right? And so if you read all of John 10, and we won't do it today, but if you guys take a second, read all of John 10, you see all the things that the good shepherd does. He provides for the sheep. He leads them out to pastures. You know, all of those things. And I think that what it really looks like is investment without necessarily a return coming back to you.
Right.
But going on out to others.
You care if I read a scripture?
Please do.
All right, Matthew chapter 4, I believe it is. I want to make sure I get it right. All right, Matthew 4, 18 through 22, guys. Listen to this. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. Everybody say casting a net, because that's important. So he's casting a net into the sea, or the boys are, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and they followed Jesus. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. Okay, so he calls the first two. They're out fishing. The boys are out fishing. Okay, they're casting their nets. The second group of boys he comes across are not fishing. They're in the boat with their dad, listen, mending their nets. Talking about spiritual parenting. So two boys without their dad throw their nets in the water. Two boys with their dad are not fishing, but dad is coaching them up about the future and something called preparation. Let's get you prepared, boys. Make sure your nets are healthy. Make sure they're strong so that when the catch comes, you'll be prepared. And it says, immediately they left the boat and they followed Jesus. Now, let's go over to Luke 5. This is going to blow your mind. Luke 5, and it's 4 through 10. When Jesus had quit speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." I like that. I'll let down one. I mean, I don't believe you, but. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So remember, there's two boys who are mending nets. And then there's two boys who don't know anything about preparation. Maybe haven't spent as much time being developed. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats until they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' feet. I fell at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Now, I just love it. Can I just pause there? This is a story of Steve Eden right here. My encounter and revelation personally of Jesus and that he would love me, even though I had failed, I had misstepped, I had committed sin, I wasn't even at times a big fan of my own self because I was so aware that if this is what a being Christian is, I'm not very good at it. But he would come to me and he would love me and he would reassure me and he would say, "This isn't about you, Steve, it's about me. Keep looking at me." So when I read that, I so relate to Peter. "Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man." All right. And then it says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were," guess who? "James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were the partners Simon called over." Don't be afraid, from now on you'll catch men. So what do we see in that? We see spiritual parenting. Two boys who were taught the value of preparation. And that it's not always about just right here, right now, fishing. But being poured into. And I remember Father's Day fishing outing we had at Grace about 5 years ago, and we were at a gentleman's pond. And that day, I was 42 years old. That day, I was there with Caleb and Joshua, my two sons. And I remember having this thought: I don't care if I catch one fish today. I only care if they catch fish. And the Lord spoke to me immediately in that moment. And he said, "Welcome to fatherhood." He said, "The day that you and even Grace Church, when you begin to care more about other people catching more fish than you ever do, we're going to change the world." Amen. We're going to change the world. Amen. Spiritual parenting. Yeah.
Amen. You know, I think about, you wrapped up a lot in that and why it's so important. And, you know, I've shared with some other folks that I meet with every week about this. But when we think about parenting in general, first of all, to be a parent, you got to have a kid, mm-hmm. right? So what happens if we just, in the natural, what happens if we stop having kids? What happens to the human race?
It goes away.
It goes away. Mm-hmm. We have to have kids to keep the human race going. What happens if we stop having spiritual kids?
What happens to Christendom?
Right. Now, the amazing reality is it's not, nothing can stop it. So, it'll be fine because the Holy Spirit is sovereign. God is sovereign.
Right.
But the reality is that it is our responsibility. He said, in Genesis, "Be fruitful and multiply."
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to our spiritual life, it's the same way. We find ourselves so often just, letting someone else do it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know where to start. And I talked about it in first service about not having the time. We don't have time to do this or that. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that when you make time, you have the time. It's an amazing reality.
Right.
But it is
how it increase is. Your capacity
he absolutely
to love.
Does.
The example he shared was, you know, Gabe was born. He didn't think he had more love than he had for Gabe. It was so big and so vast. And then he has Noah and the Lord just increases his capacity to love more than just Gabe. And it's the same way, you know, as God brings people across your path. I think we would all agree that the Holy Spirit, like he said, he, you know, over in the Middle East, with Muslims and so forth. Jesus is appearing to Muslims spiritually and talking about the whole Saul, Paul thing. You know, why are you persecuting me? Or whatever he's speaking to that individual. But he's showing himself to him, which is amazing. But you can't leave the babies at the hospital. And I think that's where this call is, and maybe even into the next 10, 20 years, and this work of Christ deep within us, is that there needs to be development, there needs to be discipleship, and teaching people, not us becoming, you know, the end-all be-all, but teaching people to hear from Jesus to be like Jesus. Does that make sense? Not giving people tools so they marry themselves to the tools, but utilizing tools that help people learn from Jesus to be like Jesus. And I think of Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38, Jesus looked out on this crowd, and it says he was moved with great compassion because they looked like sheep who had no shepherds. And we've known for a long time here at this house that his desire is to raise up many shepherds. Not just sheep, shepherds, because all the communities that we're involved in and they're outside of here, they need shepherds. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, he said, would raise up laborers. Raise up sheep, raise up shepherds. Shepherds that could pour into the little children who need developed.
Yeah. Amen. Well, and in John 10, raising up those shepherds, I think it's really good because he talks about having hired hands. And you spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. But what I find interesting is when the shepherd has this flock, he's got kids, right? And so when the kids grow up, they're going to inherit that flock. Mm-hmm. So as the good shepherd grows old in this story, his kids inherit the flock. It's not the hired hands that inherit the flock, right?
That's right.
And so he trusts those kids. So it's built into the system to mentor and grow and to disciple and train and teach.
Right.
There are scriptures after scriptures after scriptures piled up about teaching and training and passing on to the next generation.
Right.
And I guess my question to you is, I mean, after seeing all this and just taking a real hard look, on a scale of 1 to 10, how have we done as a church globally at spiritual parenting?
Well, I think you can look at the overall health of the body of Christ in the nation and say we haven't done a very good job. And you look at the overall health of the body of Christ. We've talked a lot about Ephesians 4. He gave the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher for the equipping of the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry, grow up in all aspects into Christ. And right now, I would say the body of Christ in America is probably not greatly noted for its maturity, its Christ-likeness. You know, I remember the billboard off I-35, Christians, please inform your faces. we laugh at that, and rightfully so, but there's a little bit of truth to that we need to be developed. We need to be mature. And what I love about some of what the Lord's birthing in us here is that for this next season is it's not more Christian education. We just need to know more about the Bible. And Christians in America, we're already way educated beyond what we're willing to obey. We know a bunch of stuff biblically. What we need is that personal development, you know, and growth from Christ himself inside of us, where we're learning from him, we're abiding in him, we're feasting on him, and we're losing some of our other loves. Is that okay? I mean, is it okay if I say that? Amen. Go ahead. But growing in him, Christ our husband, Christ our real love, and that he begins to filter out and clean out. Because I think as the kingdom comes more and more, and when I say kingdom, I mean his dominion, his rule, his lordship, as it comes more and more in us, it'll naturally come through us. And we'll actually be founded and grounded on this rock of love and relationship and intimacy so that if we are praying for the sick or something and they're not healed, we're okay. We're not moved by what we see out here because we're grounded in him, not in the going, not in the doing, not even in the results. We got to leave the results to him. But what I keep hearing is just as his kingdom comes more and more in us, it'll naturally come through us. And then with that, you know, the heart will be right. Our motive will be right. Brother Clay had that word in first service this morning that the body of Christ, in a nutshell, many times has put the cart before the horse. And yes, we need to go and we need to witness and we need to, you know, pray for and try to lead to Christ the lost. But man, we need to know Jesus too. We need to know him where we're not in our own effort. We're not in our own verbiage, but it's more like, Lord, would you just live through me today? Would you let me see in that person what you see in them? Does that make sense? So we're living out of this place of union with Christ instead of trying to do a lot of biblical things for him. What did he say in John 15? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Guess what the Greek word for nothing means? Nothing. It's not deep. You can't do anything apart from him that's lasting or any good fruit.
I'm so glad you went to seminary for that. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's went so to strong. Seminary to learn that.
You know me, man, I look at this and I agree with you 100%. I always ask why, right? I always ask why. And I've really wrestled with the why on this. And I think one of the things, and you can speak to this, but one of the reasons that we've been pretty lacking in this area is, and we've talked about it a lot, about qualification. And I think, too, when we speak of parenting, I think so many of us think of authority in parenting. Yeah, yeah. And I think when you apply the word authority to it, then when you're speaking about spiritual parenting, you think, well, I don't have authority over this person, so how am I supposed to spiritually parent them? And the best you can get is, well, if I'm older than them, then I'm an elder over them, so there's some of that. Or if I'm in a position in the church, but really, when you switch gears a little bit and look at parenting not as authority but as responsibility,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm responsible for raising my kids, not to raise my kids to be adults, but I'm responsible to raise my kids to be parents.
Mm, very good.
Right? So spiritually speaking, that's the approach. And I look at 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." We've got to provide for those around us,
mm-hmm.
right? Spiritually speaking, we can't just let it go.
Right.
You know, we have a responsibility. We're responsible for what we know and what we understand. And I think we've got to switch gears from understanding that it's not about authority. It's about responsibility.
Right. Well, you look at the authority issue, that's been greatly abused.
Right.
There's been different movements within the body of Christ, even discipleship movements that, if it's all about the authority of this individual and I have authority over you and you need to do this and do this and do this, that can go awry pretty quickly. And people end up doing things that's not Christ their head and their leader leading them into. So I think the verbiage as far as responsibility goes back with not leaving him at the hospital. Mm. And I hope we're all together on this. And I've said it many times, but the body of Christ is not, it's not, our problem's not immorality, it's immaturity. The only reason we have so much immorality and ups and downs and all that struggles in the body of Christ is because we haven't been developed. And Grace Church, this is my unbiased opinion, is perfectly modeled and set up for what's coming. Because it's not Christian information. It's deeper in your relationship and your intimacy with the living Christ. And that he's teaching you. And yes, he'll use people. Absolutely, he's used people in my life and Jeremy's life and I'm sure your lives. That he uses people. But it can't just be somebody's mentoring you or pouring into you and you're dependent on them. The mentorship is to get you dependent on Christ. That you're deeper in Christ. You're more in love with Christ. And can I get a witness that if love is leading the way, love never fails? So if we're deep in love here, it's going to take care of the outward and the evangelism. Okay, now you can give God praise because that was good. That's good.
Amen. I think too, it's along the same line of abuse of authority.
Yeah.
Parenting is leading through inspiration rather than dictation.
Amen. Yeah.
Right.
And leading by supply, not by demand.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, I love Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith."
Yeah.
And so it's a perfect example of modeling through inspiration. They're not telling you, hey, act this way, act this way. They're inspiring you to act a certain
yeah.
way
Amen.
And to understand and to go deeper. And I think the thing is, when we look around, we have clear evidence of how this hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right? So let's right. talk about that for a second. What are some of the effects in the body of Christ of not parenting spiritually?
Immaturity, lostness, hurt and pain. I think, how about this? How about walking around the same mountain over and over and over again?
Yeah.
Where we never seem to get past this thing. It's good to have people in your life that can supply you with tools that are founded in Christ and your relationship with Him so that you're not having to retake the test mm-hmm. a million times over. Let's be honest. The enemy uses our failures to say, at least to make us a little bit timid about sharing with other people. How are we going to go start parenting somebody else when I can't even take care of myself, or I can't beat this habit, or I can't defeat that? And that's why I'm saying once the King's rule and His love and His dominion really takes root in us, that we know Him, we're grounded in Him, and we're free, that makes us very dangerous to the enemy. Because what's God like to do with free people? Go set other people free. I think some of the other things that you see in that question are, how does Christ lead the church? By supply, not by demand. Now, I lived the first 20 years of my Christian life, and probably off and on since then, because I was so ingrained in it, that Jesus laid demands on me. And so when He would give me a command, it wasn't a supply and an instruction to how I'm designed and empowered to live. It was a demand. And if you don't meet it, it's an ultimatum, right? If you don't do what I demand of you, then I'm disappointed in you. It's hard to have intimacy with somebody you think is always disappointed in you. But when I figured out that Jesus is actually with me and in me for better, for worse, for rich, for poor, you know, and all that to be my supply, that I'll supply. Yeah, I want you to love your neighbor, but I'll be the love that you need. I'll supply you love. And I think that gets into that question too, because if Christ leads the church by supply, how should leaders in the body of Christ lead? How should disciple makers lead by supply, not by demand? What was the two words you used? It wasn't supply and demand. It was
authority versus responsibility.
No, it was
inspiration and dictation.
Yeah, leading by inspiration, not by dictating. Yeah, and we've seen some of that.
Yeah, and I think when you spoke about maturity, there is like a key word. You end up with no maturity. With no maturity, another way of putting that is you have a bunch of spiritual babies.
Yeah.
Right? And so what do spiritual babies do and say in a church? If you have a church full of spiritual babies, what do you have?
Yeah.
You have a giant nursery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not sure when you're talking about how we are the army of God, here's a really bad joke. Are we just going to be the infantry?
Oh, that was good. That was good. We're the infantry. Wrong kind of infantry.
No, but I mean, seriously, you have an army full of babies. They're going to get slaughtered.
Yep.
They're going to get slaughtered. And they're going to focus on things that is all centric around themselves, right?
Yes. Me
so
first.
They're, you know.
Have we seen any me first Christianity in America?
Maybe a little bit,
a lot.
Right?
Mm.
So you come into a church. I think this is interesting over working at four churches in 20-something years. What I've always, it's so funny to watch people who come in for the first time to a church and their first comment is a complaint about, say, a comment.
Mm-hmm.
A comment about the color of carpet.
Right.
Now, it's one
or
thing.
Or the chairs.
Or the chairs, right? Mm. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who's been at the church. I'm talking about a visitor.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to do with that information. Like, let's say that I did change it. Are you coming back next week? Like,
right.
What's the investment? You know, so it's
right.
It's so odd.
So if the chairs are good.
Exactly. Oh, the chairs are bad. Let's change that. I mean,
yeah.
And so I think you get so focused on those things, right? And as a church body, we can get focused on things that are just meaningless. The Sunday morning and what we do here is a time for us to gather, a time for us to equip, a time for us to be in the same place. But it's just What was the percentage we figured out? 14.3% of a given week? Something like that?
Oh, yeah.
That's really not that much.
It's not much.
I mean, that's less than we're supposed to tip.
Yeah. And could you imagine if we only ate
once a week?
That one time.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not going to work.
Yeah.
And so we've got to grow up. We've got to understand it. And I think the question is, how do we start that? You know, what's the first process of doing that? First, we have to figure out, right, that it's not about authority. It's about responsibility. So now we know we're responsible. We're responsible for the information we know. But a really wise man once told me, and I don't know if he coined this phrase, but he said, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Paul
right.
Whitlock.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, it's good stuff,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He didn't get to hear it first service.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think about, we have to give freely of our time and resources to gain equity.
Right.
Equity with others. And that's the problem is that we, you know, I talked about it in first service about giving of our time. Mm-hmm. Until you give your time, you have no opportunity to speak into someone's life.
Yeah. So here's the other thing. What else do babies not do? What are babies incapable of doing? Reproducing. Babies are incapable of reproducing. So what do we have to do? We have to grow up in all aspects into Christ. We have to heed the word of the Lord in this season that he's wanting to do a deep inward work with each of us to develop us, to grow us and to mature us, founded, embedded on him as our foundation in this life. And then at that point, as mature, as adults, as parents, if you will, then we can start seeing reproduction. We can start, you know, caring for others, developing others, growing others. That's how this thing works. Yeah. And I think because the body of Christ has been so immature, they just, like I said, the ones that were born again just kind of got left at the hospital and there hasn't been a lot of growth. Could I also say that there's been this understanding that Sundays are enough in America? I mean, even missionaries to America from other countries will tell you the real weakness of America is they think Sundays are enough. Mm. But it's not. We need to be feeding on Christ every day of the week. We need to be rooted and grounded in our relationship with him every day. And as we do that naturally, supernaturally, it'll be poured out of us onto other people. We'll start seeing growth. And then we'll see reproduction, and then we'll see America saved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, that's good. Amen. If our focus, amen. If our focus is we're gonna talk about God Sunday morning. I mean, that falls so low on the priority list just based on time investment alone. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it is the state of things, and we need to just address that. We need to be real about it. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And again, it goes back to creating spiritual parents. So our goal is to parent somebody to the point where they create spiritual parents. And and I thought about this in the natural. How often do you hear of newly married people? You hear someone go, when are you going to have kids?
Right.
I mean, who can attest to that? Who's been married in the last 3 or 4 years? Raise your hand if you've heard someone say, hey, when are you guys going to have kids? I know Ryan has because I've asked him. So here's the thing. How often have someone said to you, when are you going to have some spiritual kids? Hmm. Where's the challenge?
Right.
When are you going to start investing in others? Well, I'm asking you right now. When are you going to start having spiritual kids? I'm excited about it. I'm not judgmental about
it. Right.
Why do I ask Ryan? Because I want to love those little kids he has.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I'm not a grandparent yet. Thank God. But when it happens, I can tell you this. You know why I'm looking so forward to it? I'm looking forward to it because of the capacity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I learned that every time I had an opportunity to love more, every time I gave my time and I gave my love, man, that love inside of me grew. And when I have those little grandkids running around, I'm going to melt, man. You think I'm emotional now? Forget it.
Yeah.
I'll just sit here and cry in front of everybody. You guys just interpret that how you want, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's the thing. I'm challenging you all right now and asking, When are you gonna have kids? Because I want to see them.
Yeah.
I want to love on them. I want my capacity to grow.
And when you see your kids begin to see Christ work through them, it's going to light your fire. Just like, go back to the fishing day, and all I cared about was that my boys caught fish. And when the body of Christ and the saints of God begin to see people delivered, and they see their spiritual sons and daughters and brothers and sisters see breakthrough in other people's lives because God used them to do it, we'll have revival. Are you seeing the picture that I'm painting? I mean, we were talking the other day, and I don't remember who it was, but there was one of the guys from right here at Grace Church, and he was praying for this guy and just saw what we call supernatural weight loss. You know, somebody's weighed down. They've got all this burden. Life's kicking their tail. But through his encouragement and through his prayer and inviting the Lord to come, he saw that gentleman stand upright and get delivered of all that stress, all that worry, and all that pain in that moment. And what it did for him to see Christ use him to touch this other guy. That's what I'm talking about. Then when you start seeing those things, and it's hurt us because through the years, it's always been, well, the guy, you know, in the pulpit, he's the minister and he gets to see people delivered. No, we're all ministers. And when this thing goes into the highways, the byways and the streets and all that, but I think that's part of we can't get the cart before the horse. Yes, that's important, but we got to let our own selves be grown and developed and so forth. And we're going to see that kind of fruit. That's what's going to happen.
Amen. Hey, Gavin, you guys can come. I want to say that just along those same lines, the process just needs to start. You know what I'm saying? We have to just make that start. It's just like with Gabe. Who's ready to move out of the house, right? I mean, you can be really prepared, but there's always going to be something that you didn't think of.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be something. So what do? We help provide through that. So we don't stop parenting just because our kids become parents.
Amen.
And you don't stop growing just because you become a parent. You got to turn the effects off there, Gavin. Okay, there it is. So you don't become that. Or you don't stop being that parent. And I think about that with Gabe. It's a great example, man. My responsibility in his life has had times where it shifts.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never stopped being a parent. It's just how am I parenting him? What content I'm giving him? So everyone's qualified. If you're a human being who loves Jesus and has a relationship with him, you're qualified.
Yeah.
Just like every human being they're capable of having a child. Not every human being. Men aren't. But we're partners in producing.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, it's built into us. And so I think we just got to continue to embrace that and not wait for that moment of qualification. Start and get qualified all at the same time.
Amen.
If I had waited until I was prepared to have Gabe, I'd still be waiting.
Yeah. Right.
Instead, I had three and I figured maybe the third one I'll do all right with. I'll just keep trying. You know? So anyway,
amen.
Final thoughts?
Man, I had a bunch of them, you know, just as you were talking there. I think you talk about Gabe and just seeing when he gets out on his own like that, you laugh a little bit. You supply understanding. Man, I've been there. And you just keep parenting. The relationship is always there, always available. And I think that's the key. And then like you said, don't wait around to get good enough or whatever. I know what I was going to say. It's amazing that as we do start sharing with other people and we're pouring things into people, you're growing. Right. When you're doing that, I promise you, you're growing. He who waters others gets watered in the process. Proverbs 11:25. So we're feeding them, we're getting fed.
Yeah. Well, I want to challenge each one of you here. Again, I said it before, I'm going to challenge you to, this will be something different. I'm going to challenge you to do this. Make time for someone in this body. We are a family. Make time every week for someone in this body. Find someone, go to lunch, have dinner, get with another family. Start getting into real relationship with one another. This is not something we just do on Sundays. We've got to see each other more. We've got to spend time together. It's the only way that we're going to ever be what Christ prayed we would be in John 17, that we would be one as He and the Father are one for the purpose of the world knowing that He was sent for them. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together and pray. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Were you blessed? Amen. Well, Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, what is coming down the pike. We bless all those, Lord, that are already investing and pouring in relationship. We bless what you're doing. Lord, at the same time, I thank you for just a shift in our mindset and in our thinking. Lord, in the way of spiritual parenting, discipleship, and development in the body of Christ. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right. God bless you. Have a great Father's Day. Be blessed.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.